It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
At California Psychics, we know some people can't read the career warning signs, like your boss still not knowing your name.
You, Tina, Lisa, Sheila, whatever. Get that report to me by lunch, okay?
It's Carrie, ma'am.
Just get it done, Terry.
So talk to California Psychics and receive the career guidance you need. We only connect you with the very best, so guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Visit californiapsychics.com today for limited time offers.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, July 3rd, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And let's start with a little in the dugout, behind the scenes baseball, a little behind the scenes thing. So basically, when I do this daily pod, I keep a folder, the Notes app. You know, I'm a big Notes app guy. I keep a Notes app folder on my iPhone, iPad, whatever, with all the things I want to talk about. And I'll put like a little, if I see a tweet that's interesting or whatever, I'll put it in there. And this is one I've been wanting to talk about for honestly a few weeks. But as you know, the Eagles always keep it interesting. They're never boring. And I've just never been able to get to it. So we're going to get into it today. So this is from January, March, April. This is back from in May. But I thought it was a super interesting quote and wanted to talk about it. And it actually kind of stacks up with what we've been talking about recently, which is where the Eagles rank all time, the 2024 Eagles, I should say, where the 2024 Eagles rank all time in great teams. Now, this quote here is from, This quote here is from Rodney Harrison. So Rodney Harrison, this was Sunday Night Football on NBC, he said it, was talking about the 2024 Eagles and comparing them to the 2007 Patriots. So here was his quote. He said, "We were really good, really smart on defense, had lots of veterans, were very explosive on offense, averaged 37 points a game. We won in different ways, blowouts and close games. That's a team the Eagles definitely couldn't stand up to," end quote. So I've been wanting to take a look at the 2007 Patriots, compare them to the 2024 Eagles, and decide who I think would win in a game. Now, before we start this, if you remember when I ranked my all-time teams, I put the 2024 Eagles behind the 2007 Patriots. But what I said when I was making that list is that doesn't mean that I don't think the 2024 Eagles could beat a team that's above them. It just means I think the teams above them have a better resume. In the 2007 Patriots, despite not having a Super Bowl, I think have a better resume. Undefeated, unbelievable offense. Yes, they lost a crazy Super Bowl, but it's kind of like in 2022 when the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl on a very close game to a great team. I didn't view them super differently because of that. I didn't think Jalen could never win a Super Bowl because of that. I didn't think, you know, they choked it away. They lost to a great team on one day, but the 2022 Eagles were still a great team. So I do think the 2007 Patriots belong ahead of the Eagles, but let's look at the matchup and what it would look like if these two teams actually played on the field. First, let me say, I definitely disagree with Rodney Harrison when he says the Eagles definitely couldn't stand up to. I don't think that's true. I think if the 2024 Eagles and the 2007 Patriots played each other, you know, you never know what could happen, right? It could be a fluky game where there's a bunch of turnovers on one side. But I think if they played 10 times, I think it would be close. Like the Eagles would beat them sometimes, the Patriots would beat them sometimes. But I definitely think the Eagles could stand up to the 2007 Patriots. Now, let's talk about the 2007 Patriots, because what's wild is it's been almost 20 years since that team played. Just B-A-N-A-N-A-S that has been that long. So The 2007 Patriots were, of course, the team that went undefeated in the regular season, then ended up losing in the Super Bowl to the Giants. They, of course, beat the Giants the final week of the regular season. But as the Giants would go on to say, playing them close in that game proved to them that they could beat the Patriots. And then they did do that in the Super Bowl, 17-14. I did forget how low scoring that game was. But 17-14, the Giants beat the undefeated Patriots, deny them of going undefeated the entire season. That being said, the Patriots still pretty good that year. They had the number one ranked offense. They had the second ranked defense. Tom Brady, unbelievable season that year. Maybe the best season I've ever seen from a quarterback. They averaged 37 points that year, gave up only 17 points during the regular season on average. Tom Brady, 50 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, almost 5,000 yards passing. And threw it a ton, 578 attempts, which especially for back then was a lot. Randy Moss, back then, wow. 1,400 yards, 23 receiving touchdowns, also maybe the best season we've seen out of a receiver in terms of impact. What's wild is Randy Moss, not even the top guy on the team in catches. Wes Welker, 112 catches, almost 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. And then after that, they were just kind of a bunch of role players. Dante Stallworth had a nice year, almost 700 yards, which for a third receiver is pretty good, especially when the other two are putting up those numbers. And then their running backs, Lawrence Maroney, Sammy Morris, Kevin Falk, and Ben Watson, their tight end. So offensively, they are basically Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, a strong offensive line, and that's kind of it. That's how you get to 37 points. So obviously an outstanding year. On defense, Asante Samuel and Ellis Hobbs as their corners. We'll get to that in a second. And then while they had an outstanding defense with some really good players on it, Mike Vrabel, Teddy Bruschi, Vince Wilfork, Asante Samuel, as I mentioned, didn't have, in my opinion, any great edges or any guys where you look and go, okay, he is an elite, elite edge. But in their sack production, Mike Vrabel, 12 and a half sacks, which is wild. And then no one else on the team had more than 6.5. So they did spread it around. But again, the defense only gives up an average of around 17 points that year. So let's talk about matchups, kind of like how we do during a regular season Eagles game. So first, let's look at the Eagles wide receivers versus the Patriots corners. So you would have starting with Eagles receivers, you would have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Who knows how they would line up, but because they could move guys around. But I'll do A.J. versus Asante because I think they'd probably put the best corner on A.J. And then Devontae versus Ellis Hobbs. And I think we all know where the obvious matchup here is. Ellis Hobbs, a better player, you know, than he ended up being. He had a few good years. But Devontae versus Ellis Hobbs would be a matchup the Eagles absolutely would have to win. And I think they would win it. And even A.J. versus Asante, I think that's a good matchup for A.J. Jalen, really smart with how he takes care of the ball. Asante, obviously really good at creating interceptions. But Jalen, the 2024 Jalen, just didn't really put the ball in harm's way after those first 4 weeks. So if they got the Jalen in this game that was after the bye, I think you kind of negate Asante a little because he's not getting those turnover opportunities. And then with A.J. just physically, Asante had a lot of strengths as a player. I think even he would probably tell you tackling was not one of them. So because of that, I would give the advantage to A.J. AJ over Asante and Devontae over Ellis Hobbs. Now, the other key part of this is, would Jalen have time in the pocket? And I think he would. Now, Bill Belichick versus Jalen and Nick Sirianni and Kellen Moore, obviously a concerning matchup. Belichick, maybe the best defensive mind of all time, was clicking on all cylinders that season. He's not kind of the washed up coach he is now, obviously. So you'd worry about like blitz protection, Jalen picking it up. But I do think the combination of the Eagles offensive line versus, the Eagles offensive line, their football IQ, Saquon as a running back. The Patriots actually weren't that good against the run last year. They were in 2007, I should say. 26th ranked run defense that year, gave up almost 4.5 yards per carry. So they did struggle against the run. You would think Saquon would have a big game. So it would really come down to Jalen and the coaching staff and the offensive line picking up the blitzes. It would come down to Jalen, when he threw it, being smart with the ball, but then taking advantage of the matchups I think he could win, and then running the ball. And I think the Eagles could do that. So this is on the field, the Eagles have more talent on their offense than the Patriots 2007 defense had. They just have the matchups. They have the skill to beat them up and go down the field. It would really come down to coaching. And Belichick versus Sirianni and Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts makes it a close matchup. But I do think the Eagles will be able to move the ball on the 2007 Patriots. Now let's talk about the Eagles defense versus the Patriots offense. So some matchups there, you would see Quinion or Slay. Now they didn't move last year, so Randy Moss would end up going against both of them. But Quinion and Slay versus Moss, I don't care what corner you're lining up across from Randy Moss, that's a matchup where you have to really like Randy Moss. He was unbelievable that year. No slight on Quinion or Slay, but man, Randy Moss was untouchable that year. And then this could be a matchup I think would actually be very concerning. Cooper DeJean versus Wes Welker. We saw last year that Cooper as a rookie going up against the elite route runners did kind of struggle at times. You remember Adam Thielen kind of cooking him in that Panthers game. Cooper would say that was a game he struggled in. Wes Welker, just unbelievably tough to cover in general, but especially for, you know, you could say rookie or second year player, whenever you want to consider this fictional game being played. But regardless, a very young corner going up against Wes Welker, I would give the advantage to Wes Welker there. And then this is where I think, like, the Eagles pass rush maybe not being great all year would come into play. They got all over Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Jalen Carter ended up having a great year. But I just think Tom Brady would pick apart the Eagles defense. Why? Because he's Tom Brady. That Giants defense had an unbelievable defensive line. Great edges, great defensive tackles. And that's why they got to Brady. But because I don't think the Eagles would get to Brady as much, I think they would move the ball. They'd move the ball on the Eagles. So the matchups are really tough there. I don't think the Patriots like run the ball over the Eagles, but I think Tom Brady would have time in the pocket. I think he'd pick them apart. Yes, Josh McDaniels versus Vic Fangio. I think Vic could hold his own, obviously, but I'm just not picking any defense to be able to stop that version of Tom Brady. And I think if the Giants and Patriots played that game 10 times, the Patriots would win 9 of them. But on that day, they didn't. And the key to winning it was that defensive line. And I don't think the Eagles' defensive line in 2024 was as good as that 2007 Giants defensive line. Now, the Eagles' offense in 2024 was way better. But I just think the Patriots would go up and down the field on that Eagles defense. Maybe not up and down the field, but another key part of this is the Eagles really kind of won on turnovers. Jalen didn't turn the ball over, and the Eagles defense forced turnovers. The Patriots forced a ton of turnovers, and they didn't turn the ball over. Brady only had 8 interceptions that year, again, on almost 600 attempts. So I think the Patriots would win the turnover battle. I think their offense would have a better matchup against Eagles defense than the Eagles defense or Eagles offense would. I think both teams would score. But ultimately, I would pick the Patriots to win the game 28-27. And I think if this fictional game was played, depending on where it was played, I think the Patriots would be 4-point favorites. That team was unbelievable. I know they didn't win the Super Bowl, but man, probably the best team of my lifetime that I've seen. So that would be my prediction for that one. If you disagree, let me know. It's a very interesting hypothetical. But on the other side, we are going to get into a few players that I think could be on the trading block, or at least are potential trade options at the end of training camp. So we'll get into that on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay, so training camp, not that far away, less than 20 days away from the Eagles starting training camp and reporting to training camp. And as we know, training camp can bring surprises. Guys we thought maybe wouldn't get cut. Guys we thought that maybe were locks to make the roster end up getting traded. In this year, I think there's a bit of a difference. The Eagles have so many guys that are locked in as like elite starters. I don't think you'll see a starting offensive player or defensive player be traded. And I think there's like 2 to 3 key backups on both sides of the ball that won't get traded. So when we're talking about surprise trade candidates or potential trade candidates, I think we're really talking about mostly backups. But let's get into 11 guys I think could be traded. So first up, this would maybe be the biggest surprise on there, and I'm not even like sure they would do it, but I think there's a compelling case for Tanner McKee potentially being traded. Now, it would take a lot, but the Saints, if they go to training camp and don't like what they see out of their quarterbacks, could they make an offer for Tanner McKee? If another team gets an injury in training camp and wants to like trade for a developmental slash could play now but could maybe be the guy, Tanner McKee makes sense. But here's the other reason why I think there is not a 0% chance they would trade Tanner McKee. Tanner McKee is entering the third year of a 4-year deal. Now, they have him under contract for 2 more years, so it's not like they have to pay him after this season. But if Tanner McKee is the top backup all year, and let's say he plays and plays 2 games really well, he will be in line for a massive raise. I mean, he's making less than $1 million or whatever per year now. A top backup quarterback in the NFL makes $10, $11 million. So Tanner would be well within his rights to ask for a raise. And I don't think the Eagles are going to pay a backup that type of money. Then you add in Kyle McCord. I think Kyle McCord might have a better arm than Tanner McKee. I actually think Kyle McCord might be a better quarterback than Tanner McKee. Maybe not right now, but I think Kyle McCord has a higher upside than Tanner McKee does. Now, because of that, would the Eagles risk going into the season with Kyle McCord as a top backup and trading Tanner McKee? I think it would take a lot. I think you're probably looking at a third round pick that would have conditions on it, where it could be a second round pick, maybe honestly even a first round pick. If they trade Tanner McKee for a third that could become a first, it would have to be, you know, win a playoff game, all that stuff, but it wouldn't be crazy to ask for those things. So Tanner McKee, I think, a potential trade candidate. Now, would they go into the year with Kyle McCord as a top backup? Probably not. I think if they actually did trade Tanner, you might see them bring in a veteran quarterback. But if Kyle McCord's awesome and Tanner McKee, if a team comes calling, I wouldn't completely rule it out for all of the kind of extenuating circumstances I just talked about financially and just the value you could get for him. All right, next up. So this is 4 players. I'm going to group them all together. But I think you are looking at the real chance that an Eagles tight end will be traded during training camp. So obviously Goddard comes back. He's going to be part of the team. Then you have Calcaterra, EJ Jenkins, Kylan Granson, and Harrison Bryant. So each of them have a different reason why they could be traded. Calcaterra, the reason would be he's entering the final year of his deal. He's not committed to beyond this year. Now, all of these guys are only on 1-year deals. So this is the case for all of them, but there's no contractual incentive to keep one over the other. It's not like they own these guys' rights beyond this year. So Calcaterra, I think, would have the biggest trade value amongst all 4 of them. I think he's only someone they would trade if they get into camp, and Granson has been awesome. Harrison Bryant's been awesome. Both are showing real ability to block. EJ Jenkins showing the elite receiving potential I think he has. Again, he looks like a receiver out there when he's running routes. So Calcaterra could go to a team where he has a chance to be the number one guy. He maybe gets a contract extension beyond this year. It's beneficial to him to go somewhere else where he'll get more chances to you know, be involved in the offense, put up bigger numbers, get ready for free agency. And they just signed the other guys. Now, they like Calcaterra, and Calcaterra is popular in that locker room. Jalen really likes him. Jalen's comfortable throwing the ball to him. But if all the tight ends are awesome, I mean, they did just sign 2 of them, and Calcaterra is on the final year of his deal. Now, cap space-wise, Kyler Granson, if they traded him, would open up around $1 million. Harrison Bryant would open up around $1 million. There's not really a ton of financial incentive to trade one over the other. They did give Granson a little more money. He got $1 million fully guaranteed. Harrison Bryant got $800,000 or $780,000 fully guaranteed. So a little more money to Granson. I get the sense they are a little higher than Granson. They're a little higher on Granson than they are Bryant, but there's still a lot of time for that to be sorted out. But regardless, all 5 of these tight ends aren't making the roster, which means one of them is going to go. And I think all of them are good enough players where they'll be traded and not released. Unless the team is just sure that they'll release them and get through waivers and get to them, or they're high enough on the waiver claim where they would get them. But I think enough teams would have interest that a team would want to trade for them as opposed to risking they lose them. So Calcaterra, Jenkins, Granson, and Bryant, I think all real trade possibilities. Next up is Jahan Dotson. Now this one, there's true financial kind of incentive. And here's why. Jahan Dotson is entering the final year of his deal. They're obviously not going to re-sign him at the money it'll take, even if he has an amazing year. I mean, the only way I could see it happening, and knock on wood, pray it doesn't happen, is if AJ or Devontae were to suffer some type of serious injury and then Jahan Dotson killed it and they felt they needed the insurance of Jahan Dotson the following season. But knock on wood, hopefully that doesn't happen. So assuming Jahan Dotson has a regular number 3 year, and I think he'll have a good year. I think he'll get the ball more. He's more comfortable in the offense, more comfortable with the team, more comfortable in the city, not moving at the last minute from Washington. He's had a good practice in the offseason, from what I've seen. So I think he'll have a good year. But that means he'll probably get signed by somebody else. And it also, Jahan Dotson probably is not going to want to re-sign here. I mean, if he has opportunity to go elsewhere and be a top two guy, a team that throws it more, a team where he's not the top backup, I think it makes more sense for him to go elsewhere. And they have some guys on the roster that I don't think you could trust over Dotson right now. But let's say Terrace Marshall has an outstanding training camp. Johnny Wilson takes a step in the right direction. Anaya Smith, A.J. Brown helps him out a ton and he looks good. Danny Gray, the former, I think, third round pick from the Niners. Let's say he shines. There are guys where if they all play well, Jahan Dotson being a free agent could play into it. So I don't think they'll trade Dotson. This would be, you know, a 15% type of thing. But I wouldn't put it at 0% either, especially if these other receivers really shine. All right, along the offensive line, there are two guys I think they could look to trade. Potentially three, but I think really just two. Kenyon Green, I debated putting down. If Kenyon Green gets here, they're not impressed with him. Maybe another team takes a flyer on his upside. But if the Eagles are moving on from him after how he played in Houston, I don't think you could get almost anything for him. Two names I would keep an eye on as a trade candidate. Now, you're probably not getting much. You're not getting much for any of these players besides McKee, to be honest. But the two names I would look at are one, Trevor Keegan, and the other one is Darian Kennard. So Darian Kennard's been in Stoutland University for a full year. I think they want him as their top swing tackle, but let's say he doesn't play well, or let's say they decide to keep some of the young guys. They have Miles Hinton, Cam Johnson, Holland Pierce, Kendall Lamb, not a young guy, but Kendall Lamb would offer up some of the veteran experience that those other young guys wouldn't. Let's say they go Kendall Lamb as a top backup, and then they Hinton, Cam Johnson, Holland Pierce all look so good in training camp that they're just like, we can't cut these guys because we'll lose them. Then I think a team would maybe give you something for Darian Kennard. Not anything of true value, but I think a team would pick him up. And then Trevor Keegan, former fifth round pick, played at Michigan. He's in a tough spot too. Roster-wise, he's been snapping the ball in practice, which makes you think they want to see some more of him at center. Now, excuse me, the positive part of that could be they want him to have versatility because they're going to keep him. The negative Nancy way to look at that would be they don't think he's been great at guard and they want to see what he can do at center. So Keegan, with the drafting of Drew Kendall, probably not, well, definitely not a lock to make the roster. And I think other teams around the league would have value, would potentially see value in him. So those are the two offensive linemen I would look at. And then at safety, or I should say in the secondary, Lewis Cine, now he was released last year. The Eagles claimed him. Again, I don't know if you're getting a ton for him, but draft value, draft stock, and draft pedigree matters in the NFL. And Lewis Cine, absolutely, as a former first-round pick, I think there would be maybe one GM that would have interest. So I would say Lewis Cine, potentially. He's not been practicing with the first or second team. I've seen them use him a little bit in like sub-packages. Maybe they want to try him in a, you know, roamer, like, blitz type of thing role, but as a pure safety, he's been working pretty much exclusively with the third team, at least in the practices we were at. So doesn't look like his stock is up. Sidney Brown, I don't think they would trade, but let's say he's bad in camp. McCollum's awesome. Makuba is awesome. Obviously Reed Blankenship, very good. And then who, you know, Lewis Cine, maybe he's good. We just talked about him. I do wonder if Vic Fangio is going to trust Sidney Brown. And if he doesn't, and he's not going to play him, then you might as well capitalize on him still being a young player. Now, he's an excellent special teams player, so they might keep him strictly for that. But besides Tanner McKee, he's probably the biggest name I could see being a surprise trade candidate. And then the last one would be Eli Ricks. You know me. I'm an Eli Ricks guy. I think this dude is special. He's got a big-time agent, played big-time college football. His play as a rookie, I think, still goes very underrated. But it doesn't seem like there's a role for him. I mean, they never put him on the field, or at least Vic didn't last year. And if they're not going to do it, I think he has a powerful enough agent that a team around the league, they would find a home for him as opposed to putting him up for waivers. So I'd love to see Eli Ricks get a chance. I just don't know if it's going to happen. So, yeah, I would say those are the three guys in the secondary. So overall, some potential trade candidates: Tanner McKee, Grant Calcaterra, EJ Jenkins, Kylan Granson, Harrison Bryant, Jahan Dotson, Trevor Keegan, Darian Kennard, Lewis Seen, Eli Ricks, and Cooper DeJean's seemingly best friend on the team, Sidney Brown. So that'll do it for today's daily podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.